1320 AM, W248DE, Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Users of the world's most popular websites and apps couldn't gain access today after Amazon Cloud Services went on the blink. CBS's Kelly O'Grady.
The website Down Detector, it tracks web outages, reported issues with dozens of major sites like Amazon, Venmo, Spectrum, Ring, Verizon, Coinbase.
It took engineers 3 hours to fix the issue. Special Envoy Steve Witkoff and Jared Kushner are back in Israel to oversee a fragile ceasefire after CBS 60 Minutes asked the two whether Israel is guilty of genocide in Gaza.
No,
absolutely not. No, there was a war being fought.
The Louvre Museum closed for a second day after robbers on scooters pulled off a brazen crown jewel heist. CBS's Liz Palmer from Paris.
The robbers were dressed in uniforms and it's believed high-vis jackets, and they had this big piece of equipment. So they were sort of hiding in plain sight.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Democrats at the Capitol have been introducing bills to make tuition cheaper. Savannah Tomei Olson has more.
40 years ago, the state funded about 42% of the UW system's budget. Today, the state only funds about 17%. Among other things, that's part of the reason tuition has had to keep rising. One of the bills contains $10 million block grants for both the UW system and the Wisconsin Technical College system. The goal is to keep students in class when tuition puts too much of a financial burden on them. Representative Angela Stroud, who was a college professor.
Many of my students were first-generation college students or students from working-class families. But increasingly, they were working 20 or 30 hours a week in jobs just to pay rent, to pay for their books, things that some students took for granted or that I took for granted when I was an undergraduate student.
UW-Madison already has Bucky's Tuition Promise, which helps students from low-income families go to college. This other bill would create the tuition promise for all of the UW system. These bills would need Republican support to pass.
Attorney General Josh Call secured a preliminary injunction continuing the temporary block of the USDA from acting on its demands that states turn over personal and sensitive information about millions of Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program recipients. Joanne Krulatz has more.
SNAP applicants provide their private information in connection with using the program. USDA has threatened to withhold administrative funding for the program if states fail to comply with its unprecedented demand for data, effectively forcing states to choose between protecting their residents' privacy and providing critical nutrition assistance to those in need. Any delay in funding could be catastrophic for Wisconsin and its residents who rely on SNAP to purchase food.
I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
A comeback win for the Pack. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports from Arizona, where the Green Bay Packers scored in the final 2 minutes to beat the Cardinals 27-23 here at State Farm Stadium. Matt LaFleur, on a critical 4th-and-2, decided to let Jordan Love keep a winning drive alive with a pass to Tucker Kraft.
For Matt to decide to go for that right there in that situation, to have that confidence in the offense for us to go make a play, and then for us to go out there and do it. You know, that's one of those, it's one of those decisions that, you know, it's going to suck if we don't get it. But when you do, it pays off like that when you go out there and get the win. And then obviously to finish off with a touchdown was huge.
Tucker Kraft had 5 catches for 58 yards, including a touchdown play that they ran last week against the Bengals.
It's a big play within our offense. You know, we're just tallying them up at this point because we run it so often. We know that they know.
So the Packers improved to 4-1-1 and for now remain atop of their division. Tonight, it's the Lions and Buccaneers in Detroit on Monday Night Football with Sports on Mike Clemens.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Mostly sunny, breezy, with high temperatures in the lower 60s. For tonight, some showers, mainly in the evening, chilly with lows in the upper 30s. Showers redeveloping on Tuesday, mainly in the afternoon. It will be quite chilly and breezy with highs only in the mid-40s. Current temperature is 33.
You wanted to be cool, which led you to smoking, which led to a pack a day. Then you met that special someone, which led to starting a life with them, which led to wanting to live longer, which led to quitting. Then you heard you may be at risk for lung cancer, which led you to getting a low-dose CT scan. If you smoked, get scanned. Talk to your doctor and learn more at savedbythescan.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
I'll trust water bottles and a flashlight to save the day, but I'll be proved wrong.
With a tornado approaching, I'll realize that I like a wheelchair-accessible shelter.
When the floodwaters rise, I'll be up in the attic with 20 cans of beans. It's a recipe for disaster.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time after a very disconcerting and busy news and sports weekend. We will sit down and discuss it all with our friend and colleague of Matt Nair on Air, Jay and Matt Nair. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4. Locally grown radio, WFHR.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, good morning. It is 7:06. Nice to have you back here up north on this Monday morning, October 20th. Parker Olson producing things down in Madison Studio A2. Kristen Lyerly and Selena Heller joining us this morning as well. As, of course, is, as always, Rob and Tigerton, who joins us commenting on YouTube and says, good morning from Tigerton. It's clear skies, 31 degrees. It was a great weekend Saturday. I was busy mowing up leaves around Tigerton. And I was washing my winter coats and hoodies over the weekend, watched the Packer game. Today, going to mow up more leaves. Yesterday was Friendship Day, so happy belated Friendship Day. Thank you, Rob. And another beautiful sunrise in Tigerton today. So always appreciate hearing from him and from you as well. Get in those comment sections on Facebook and YouTube and give us a hello as well. Love to hear where you're listening from. I did say it's a chilly morning out there, 27 in Eagle River right now, 30 in Mosinee. The warm spots are in both Amory and Milwaukee at 43 degrees. Oshkosh, you're at 39, and here in the Chippewa Valley, it is 34 right now. Reminder that you can sign up for our newsletter. Head over to upnorthnewswi.com, and you can get the weekday version or, of course, on the Sunday mornings. I put together a version that is more about Wisconsin politics, a little national politics. It includes our question of the week, which this week is, should online sports betting be legal in Wisconsin? And did you know that using DraftKings or FanDuel, you know, technically those are misdemeanors in Wisconsin? Not that anybody gets, you know, pinched for them, but there's a proposal for the tribal casinos here in Wisconsin. They have sports books, so you can go to the casino, watch sporting events, and place bets on professional sports, not college sports. But there is a proposal that would let those casinos also have online gambling sites. And so you're sitting at home, you got your phone, and you can bet on whether, you know, the next, you know, snap of the football is going to lead to a touchdown or not. As you can tell, I have very mixed opinions on this one, but we want to know what you think. So to be the first to respond, head to upnorthnewswi.com and sign up for our question of the week. I sense there are no sports bettors in the group here. I don't, maybe Parker's got a little thing going there. You know?
Myself? No, I have friends that do. I have a buddy, actually, who I think has a very good system for sports betting.
He wins every time. Just one more bet.
Bang, bang, bang. Yep. Now, he puts in $100 on his birthday to his account, and then he uses that up until it's gone for the whole year. Like, yeah.
Or the end of that afternoon, you know.
Well, exactly. So you never know.
That's lasts. Fair. Okay. If you've got good limits, I can see that.
I know somebody else who that is their the recycling. They live in another state where they can still take their recycling in and get money for that. And it's like, you can gamble with that. That's it, you know? So it's whatever system works to keep it in check. That's the important thing to know. Mm-hmm. Packers defeated Arizona 27-23. Kristen, you weren't, she has her Packers sweatshirt on here. You weren't in Arizona for that game, though. I mean,
you were in Mexico City. You didn't like stop in Arizona on the way back to go to the game or something like that.
I did not. I couldn't even watch. So I was like in this long line through customs watching the game cast on ESPN, and my kids were texting me as it was going on. I was dying at the end of the game in that information deficit because there was so much happening.
Yes.
Oh, it was hard.
Mm. But you also missed your cue when I said, so you weren't at yesterday's game, were you? Yeah. No, but where are you going to be for the next game?
Oh, I'll be in Pittsburgh.
Yes, you will.
Oh,
yes.
Oh my gosh, you guys.
Only because, but I'm going to be there for a meeting, and it just happened to be
yeah,
the night
right. sure.
that
yeah.
the Steelers okay. and Wait. The Packers and the Aaron Rodgers. I did not. It's like an actual meeting. I'm so excited. And you know what else I'm going to do?
What?
I'm going to go visit the Mr. Rogers Memorial in Pittsburgh, and I'm very excited about Whoa. That.
You should be. That's great. You will, of course, be preparing a show that will air Saturdays at noon across the Civic Media Radio Network as well, will you not?
Oh, you guys, it's so good. We shouted it a couple weeks ago. It's Fran Hong, Assembly Representative Francesca Hong, who is delightful. She's running for Wisconsin governor, and she is just her platform is so inspiring just to hear her talk about how much she cares about workers and what she's planning to do as she continues to move forward with this campaign and hit every county in Wisconsin. I love this conversation. I think you will too.
Well, funny you should say that because I have a conversation with Fran Hong as well, right here on my phone. I went to, she was in Eau Claire yesterday, made an appearance, and I interviewed her, and we will be running that tomorrow morning here on the program. So State Representative Francesca Hong tomorrow morning on this show, and then Saturday an extended interview as part of the Dr. Kristen Lyerly show, talking about her run for governor.
Yeah, and always, so much more.
Always food. Great to talk to. Oh, of course, food. She's a chef.
Yeah.
But there's nothing she can't talk about, though. Just always a good conversation with her. Coming up in just a little while here, about 25 minutes, we will be talking to Bill Hogseth from GROW. That stands for Grassroots Organizing Western Wisconsin, all about getting politicians to focus on making healthcare access better for all of us. A very familiar topic to Dr. Lyerly and myself. And Selena's done stories on healthcare access as well, the rural healthcare crisis. Maybe not shutting down the government because you don't want people to have affordable health care, things like that. So,
and then lying to them about it. Hey,
yeah,
not
yep.
a good idea.
Right. Because it turns out that gets people upset to the point where whether it's because of health care or inflation or troops in the streets or a whole host of other reasons, you suddenly found something like 7 to 8 million Americans at various rallies over the weekend. And Selena was covering the one in Eau Claire. And what's stuck out to me, Selena, looking at all of the interviews that you sent back to me to edit, and we'll be popping those up on social media throughout the next couple of days here, is, yeah, it wasn't any one thing in particular. It was a wide range. This guy in the White House has done a lot of different things. There's something in it for everybody to go, I don't know about this guy.
Yeah, it was pretty interesting because that's what I went up and, you know, why you're here today. And they all had something kind of different to say. It was really interesting what they came up with. I wasn't really expecting that. And so it was just kind of neat to hear everybody's perspective and what their reasoning is.
Yeah. Let's start with one of them. Sharon was her name. What was her deal?
No, that's her deal. Sharon Clemens is from Eau Claire, and she said, you know, she was there with friends, and I talked to, you know, a few of the friends too, but Sharon just said she needed to be there. So here's Sharon.
We're having a technical difficulty here. Sorry.
Oh,
guys.
Okay. We'll come back to it. We'll come back to it after the break. Yeah.
We can talk about signs. Favorite signs?
Yes. Please tell us about the signs.
Okay. So my favorite sign was, I'd rather be home with my dogs, but I have to fight fascism.
Okay.
Like that one. Uh-huh. And then this one guy, I took a picture of him, and he just had his eyeballs peering out over his sign, and he had sunglasses on and a hat. So I just have a picture of him with his eyeballs and his sign. And his sign says, "It's so bad, even the introverts are protesting here." He was really cute. He really, you know, played his part.
Oh, it really was. There, you know, like here's one that says, 13 years of Christian school, and now you expect me to not love my neighbor?
Oh.
There's this one, stupid, callous, fragile, racist, sexist, Nazi POTUS. Yeah, that one was a nice That's thing a there. One. Yeah.
I'm Aunt Tifa. I heard you were.
Oh, yes, an aunt. Yes. Yep.
She was good.
And here's one. First, they came for the immigrants, and I spoke up because I know the rest of the damn poem. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, people were definitely showing off their chops there. Kristen, we understand you have to run, but we will be talking to you on Friday, hopefully, before your Pittsburgh travels.
I'm going to be in Pittsburgh, but I will talk to you on Friday.
Oh, good. Well, we will look forward to that. Glad you made it back home for a little while before you have to go jetting off again. So.
No. I'm a busy gal. There's a lot to do in the world right now.
You know, saving the world takes time. And it does. Sometimes takes some airfare. Exactly. All right. Thank you, Kristen.
Thanks, friends. Have a great week.
All right. We'll see you all later. Let's see. Parker, you want to hold off until after the break on hearing Selena's tapes, or do you have something ready to roll for us?
Yeah, I think we're going to have to hold off. Not sure what's going on here. Sorry, guys.
No, that's all right. No, appreciate hearing about it. We were talking about the signs and the people themselves. And look, when I was editing this for Selena, you know, she just sends me these sound bites and says, here, string these together. And so you see one woman, you know, who's speaking very earnestly, and another person speaking very earnestly, and then a guy in a chicken suit.
Yep.
And then a woman in an inflatable cow costume.
No, I've never interviewed anybody in inflatable costumes before. So it was like, I got a chicken, a cow. I mean, it was pretty entertaining for me. Uh-huh. And but it was very fun.
But you also pre-screened them. And that included asking a series of questions. Do you remember the series of questions, how they went?
Yes, I think it was... I asked them just a kind of a rapid fire, like, do you hate America?
No.
Are you getting paid to be here?
No.
Do you have a job?
Yes.
All these claims. And are you a member of Antifa? Are you a member of Hamas? So kind of went. And why are you really here if you're not all of these things?
Yeah. So they, you know, everybody was quizzed. And again, you can't pay 8 million people to be doing this. And so it really kind of, you know, people were telling on themselves if they were saying these were just a bunch of paid instigators. The Eau Claire one, by the way, four different routes that people marched in, as we learned from Cindy Greening, because one route wasn't enough. You'd start to clog things up.
Yeah, there were so many people the last time around. They had to make four routes, and they kind of on Saturday they set off for different areas of the downtown area. So all at once, all these people in one area of the downtown and in another, I mean, it was just kind of an incredible sight for people driving around downtown. And they really, I mean, I was out there the whole time. And so people were just honking while they were driving by. And then some just stood on the streets and lined the streets. And that was fun. And then in other parts of the city, in the downtown area, people set up little bands and were singing as the marchers went by. It was kind of a festive, really positive day for everybody.
Yeah. And again, no significant issues anywhere. People came, they peacefully protested, and that was it. And that's how it was supposed to work out. And then before we go here, we just want to acknowledge one of our old coworkers, and she'll like that I say we're going to put the emphasis on old coworker. Judy Clark was honored, my old co-anchor at TV13. Judy Clark was honored at the Upper Midwest Emmys ceremony with an induction to their Silver Circle. It's an honor for broadcasters whose outstanding work expands at least 25 years. And Judy, I believe, is approaching 35 years at TV13, which is weird because you watch and you go, she's not that much older than 35. But
she looks well. Yep.
Started as a baby. She says in the story here, people ask me, does it seem like it's been 35 years? I always say, no, it's gone by in an instant. Selena and I both know that's not true. We've had some days that were really long in that newsroom. But she does say, I'm grateful to have been able to work with some of the best people in the business, talented journalists, wonderful coworkers, past and present, people who show me every day the importance of what we do, why local news matters, and now more than ever, we have to remember that. So keep that in mind, Selena. She said all those nice things about you and pretty much everybody else who she's worked with.
I think what people don't realize is journalists are just really hard workers, and they want to get things right, and they have, you know, the best interests of the people.
That's right. All right, Selena Heller's with us, and we will talk more about people who attended the No Kings rally coming up. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids Home for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Crockett Septic provides professional septic system pumping, inspections, and portable sanitation rentals. Trust the experts and keep your system running smoothly. Call Crockett Septic today, 715-712-3456, or visit CrockettSeptic.com.
Feel the heart in every note as you sway along to the mixture of roots, rock, and Americana music of the Mark Croft Band. Coming to the main stage at the Jensen Community Center in Amherst, November 8th. Purchase your tickets today for $20 at jensencommunitycenter.ticketspice.com/MCB or $25 at the door while supplies last. Don't miss this rare opportunity to enjoy an award-winning musical act at the Jensen Community Theater, November 8th. Reception with appetizer and drinks at 6, curtain opens at 7.
Looking in your wallet shouldn't look like a Halloween scene. Put money back in your pocket with eWay Sales and Pawn in Wisconsin Rapids and Stevens Point. When cobwebs and moths take over your wallet, turn to the team at eWay Sales and Pawn, because when your money is gone, it's time to pawn. Find scary good deals on tools, firearms, jewelry, and more. eWay Sales and Pawn, 8th Street South, Wisconsin Rapids. Happy Halloween!
Did the average S&P 500 CEOs earn in less than 2 days what their typical worker earned in all of 2023? Yes. In 2023, the average S&P 500 CEO earned about $17 million, or about $46,849 per day, compared to under $64,000 per year for the average worker. Median figures were similar. CEOs made $16.3 million while median workers earned about $81,000, equivalent to less than 2 days of CEO pay. High CEO compensation remains a stark contrast to the modest worker earnings across major U.S. companies. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Read more at wisconsinwatch.org.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, and now for something local from WFHR and WIRI Studios.
Hello, world. Welcome to WFHR's Rapids Report, proudly brought to you by Crockett Septic for this Friday, October 17th, 2025. Have your host, James, here. And we're joined right now by our good friends from the Port Edward School District. We have James Bena with us right now. James, good to see you. Bena. Did I say it right that time? Bena? Mm-hmm. Okay, that time I did. All right.
Good morning, James.
Good to have you here, sir. Thanks a lot for being here, representing the Port Edwards School District, as always. And, of course, we have April Nelson with us as well. I got that one right.
Yes.
Thank you for having an easy-to-say name, April. We appreciate you. April's here to represent the Port Edwards Parents Organization, Parent Organization, PEPO. So we'll talk about that in a little bit as well. James, wanted to start off where I think we have to this time of year, I think is an important place to at least, and school safety. Let's get right into that.
Sure, absolutely. And thanks again for having us on, James. In Port Edwards this fall, we are looking at a number of different areas related to school safety. We hear about it in the news at a state level and a national level so often. And the number one priority for our students above anything else is keeping them safe. On October 8th, I attended a school safety training in Manawa. It was sponsored by the Department of Justice here in Wisconsin. There were about 35 law enforcement officers in attendance, along with about 20 school administrators. There are regular Department of Justice school safety trainings held around the state. The focus of this safety training was about the most effective ways to reunify children with their families in case we would need to evacuate school. Now, of course, we always hope and pray that this never happens, but we have to be prepared in case there were a situation in which children would have to leave the buildings very rapidly. Both our elementary and our middle and high school, they have reunification sites. And once we have all of our children accounted for, then it becomes a very complicated but important process to reunify them with their parents. And we learned best practices at this training in Manawa on how to effectively and efficiently reunify our children with families, over 400 children, in a place that they're not used to being picked up at. So it was a very important training.
Yeah, incredibly. And great to hear the work. Appreciate the details on that and everything. We certainly wish that this wasn't something that, you know, there's so much put on our parents, on our kids, on our school staffs, all of the above. Mm-hmm. To have to put this on there is not fair, to be honest. Mm-hmm. But we also understand as adults that's not really part of the curriculum. Fair.
Right.
So, covering bases is incredibly important. Let's hope it's a break glass. Never have to break the glass. Never need it. But, man, it is good to hear. And it is reassuring to hear, I think. And my kids are all in their 20s and stuff. They haven't been in school in a long time, and I still care very deeply mm-hmm. about this. I hope I'm not alone on that, because it's not enough for parents with kids in school or people a part of parent-teacher organizations or anything like that. We need literally everybody caring about these topics. If you haven't had kids in school, if you've never had kids, this counts you too. You drive, don't you? You bop around town, don't you? Slow down, keep an eye out for our kids. And certainly when it comes to this issue and what you're talking about, Jim, understanding more about it. I think that it's not enough for parents and others and people that work in the industry to care about this. We need everybody caring about mm-hmm. this topic and all hands on deck. We are talking about the greatest natural resource we will ever have in this universe, mm-hmm. our kids. All hands on deck.
Absolutely.
And I appreciate, too, when this topic comes up, more times than not, it tends to not be very divisive. It does on a national level. I'm not talking about that. That's their business. I'm talking about locally. It tends to be one of those things. Hey, what do we need to do to make our kids safe?
Absolutely. And very well said, James. Thanks very much for that support. And I couldn't agree more. It takes all of us as a team to look out for our children's safety. And, you know, James, I'm going to put you in the same category with me. We were in school back in the 90s, and back then, school safety was our monthly fire drill and our maybe a couple times a year tornado drill. That was school safety. We live in a different world now, 30, 40 years later. And it is kind of reassuring to share some of these details, I think, with our family and community. At a federal level, the Federal Department of Justice puts a lot of resources toward this type of planning and training and education of school leaders and teachers. The state of Wisconsin puts a lot of resources to it. Our local law enforcement puts a lot of time and resources to that. So we do have very specific plans. We have best practices in place. There's a lot of education. So a lot of time and effort is put into educating our children in a safe way, in a way that doesn't scare them. Training our teachers in a safe and effective way in case of an emergency, in case of an intruder, making sure that we know what to do, not to scare, but to do it most effectively in the most safely way possible. So there's a lot of time that we put into that. And it, as you said, there is no resource we should value more than our children. So we do put a lot of time into it.
There's another lesson in this, too, for kids, which everything is about that in school and everything. Certainly having fun, after curricular activities, all those things. But it's so much of this is, you know, helping them learn to fly so they can get out of the nest and preparing for what it is to be an adult and all that. And again, hopefully none of these practices are ever needed or anything like that. But that's a part of life is planning for things. And hey, maybe they happen, maybe they don't. But that's something important about. And while we all want kids to remain kids as long as humanly possible, that's also part of the job of preparing them for what the difference of being a kid and being an adult. Some of this stuff, for better or worse, is a lesson in itself when it comes to this stuff.
Absolutely. Teaching children and young adults to plan for worst case scenario, plan for the worst, hope for the best.
Yep.
And that's teaching them responsibility. Mm. So it's a life lesson in school.
October 5th through the 11th was National Fire Prevention Week in our schools. How did you guys, I don't want to say celebrate, but how did you guys talk about that?
Yeah, absolutely. We acknowledge Fire Safety Week. That's a national National Fire Prevention Week in schools across the country. Here in Port Edwards, we have a great partnership with the Village of Port Edwards Fire and Safety Department. We talked about it on our morning announcements throughout the week. We had a lot of conversations in small groups at our elementary school. And then last Thursday, October 9th, Fire Chief Lease, as well as firefighters Tanya, Justin, and Josh, they came to our elementary school. they did a presentation. They showed the, they had the fire truck there. They had a lot of the fire clothing, the fire equipment. They showed the children. One of their big themes was not to be afraid if there is a fire. Again, we want to teach you and educate you on what you need to do to stay safe. So they had some
You
great-
were listening to the Rapids Report, sponsored by Crockett Septic. To hear the full interview, visit WFHR.com, the Civic Media app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
97.5 WFHR, locally grown radio, and home to mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
It's not just the United States that's having a hard time getting product into China. I'm PM Yankee, starting you off before the opening bell on a Monday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. Canadian farmers are struggling with the same issues. We'll find out what commodities being hit hard. That's next.
Farming has no set hours, no weekends off. The work can feel endless, but wrapping up that last acre makes it all worth it. At Rank Seed, we get it. We know the pain and joy of farming because our family's been doing it since 1846. Our seed will work as hard as you do. We think you'll crack a smile when the combine rolls. Rank Seed. Results since 1846.
Rick White's the president and CEO of the Canadian Canola Growers Association. He said, like many other farmers in the United States, they're struggling to try to get their canola back into China.
What's going to be on the table is up to our elected officials. Since these tariffs have come on, no canola has been going to China, whether it's seed, oil, or meal. We know this is a political problem. It's going to take a political fix. We just want to see results and get back to free and open trade with China.
Rick White, he's president and CEO of the Canadian Canola Growers Association. Saskatchewan is Canada's largest canola growing province. They've seen their exports shrink by more than 75% in the wake of losing China as its single largest customer. Markets in overnight electronic trade as we roll into a Monday. Grain trade holding firm. Numbers are next.
At Channel, we always show up for our farmers.
Is that tar spot or rust?
Incoming!
Definitely rust.
Rick? How did you...
Dropping in to check on your crop bill. Let's call your agronomist before that rust can hurt your yield.
That sounds great, but when did you learn to skydive?
Self-taught, Bill. Kind of a prodigy.
From personalized insights to year-round support, Channel Seed Pros always show up. Visit channel.com to learn more. Channel, all in, all season. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
On Friday in Chicago, the barrel cheese stood still at 177. 40-pound block cheese was up 0.75 cents, 177.5, while AA butter dropped 3.25 cents to finish the week at 159.5 per pound. November class 3 milk that goes into cheese is up 13 cents at 16.78. December's up a nickel, 16.56. December corn's unchanged at 4.22. November soybeans up 7.5 at 10.27. July wheat up 1.5, 5.43 a bushel. Hey, we'd like you to download our brand new app, the Midwest Farm Report app. Gives you all the news and information you're looking for, plus additional podcasts and great ways to interact with the staff. It's available for both Android and Apple. Download it. Midwest Farm Report. I'm PM Yankee.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids home for the Todd Allball Show, weekday afternoons from 2 to 4.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Mostly sunny, breezy, with high temperatures in the lower 60s. For tonight, some showers, mainly in the evening, chilly with lows in the upper 30s. Showers redeveloping on Tuesday, mainly in the afternoon. It will be quite chilly and breezy with highs only in the mid-40s. Current temperature is 33.
Adoption of teens from foster care is a topic not enough people know about, and we're here to change that. I'm April Dinwiddie, host of the new podcast, Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Each episode brings you compelling real-life adoption stories told by the families that live them with commentary from experts. Visit adoptuskids.org/podcast or subscribe to Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Administration for Children and Families and the Ad Council.
Hear that? That's the sound of your life. Perfectly imperfect. Beating in rhythm to the world you've created. But every time you drive after drinking, the music gets drowned out. Your life sounds pretty great. Don't let a buzz ruin it. Buzz driving is drunk driving. Don't drive buzzed. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Maggie Dawn.
I'm joined by my special guest, Tom Paulsiewicz. We dive into Donald Trump's plan to dispatch the IRS against his enemies and Magic Mike's refusal to seat the newest elected congresswoman. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
In this morning's edition of our daily newsletter, sign up at upnorthnewswi.com. Gilmore Girls Getaways, the show, which dates back 25 years now, is set in a fictional New England town of Stars Hollow, where it's everything an ideal small town should be. A lively, walkable downtown complete with bookshops, antique stores, bakeries, and others, populated by a quirky cast of characters who constantly come together to celebrate festivals, holidays, and help one another. Well, there are places in Wisconsin that that description fits perfectly. Well, the places, not necessarily the quirky people. So if you're looking for some weekend getaways that are right up there on par with Stars Hollow, learn about it in our daily newsletter. Sign up at upnorthnewswi.com. All right, let's continue on with our Movement Mondays, where we talk to people from groups that are looking to make a difference and create a movement of people who increase their civic engagement about the issues that are important to them and their hometowns. One of those groups is called GROW, and that is for grassroots organizing, Western Wisconsin. Bill Hogseth is part of that group based in Dunn County, but throughout Western Wisconsin, where we find out about the people they're talking to and the issues that are important to them. Bill, good morning. How are you?
Hey, Pat. It's good to see you. Good morning.
Yeah, good to see you as well. For folks that might have missed our earlier visit, let's start by once again describing what GROW is, what it got started as, and what GROW does.
Yeah. So we are a homegrown grassroots organization. We started in Pierce County. A few neighbors outside of River Falls got together around their kitchen table, and they decided they wanted more power to shape things in their community. And that was back in 2020. And the organization has grown since then, but we've really stayed true to, like, we are grassroots. We're about regular people taking action together. And we now cover 7 counties in Western Wisconsin. So Polk, Barron, St. Croix, Dunn, Pierce, Pepin, and Buffalo are where we cover. And we really are a very locally focused organization. So we have a couple of campaigns. One of them is we're working to mitigate the impacts of big corporate farms. Another one is we're working on housing and trying to make things better for tenants in Menominee. We also have a whole campaign that's trying to help people get elected to their local governments so they can have more of a voice there. I could go on and on. Tell me, is that good?
that's a very good start. Now, when you say a campaign, you engage in campaigns, what is that campaign made up of? What is it that you're ultimately looking to accomplish or gather?
Yeah, awesome question. Because, Pat, I think last time I was on was like last summer. And our members were getting ready to knock a bunch of doors in Menominee because there was housing issues in Menominee. So we knocked on 500 doors and we had conversations with people about what they were experiencing on housing. And it was from those conversations that a campaign emerged. So we didn't just come in and say, hey, we're going to do this campaign because we think we've got all the answers. We heard from people what was the issue that was really biting into their lives. And what we discovered was that it was around people's rental conditions. So after that summer, we had a set of meetings in our community and we started doing research and we decided to move forward on trying to pass an ordinance in the city of Menominee to bring back proactive rental inspections, because those were removed from cities can no longer do proactive rental inspections because the state passed a law in 2017. So long story short, Pat, is we start with listening. And then we have a set of meetings where we engage the community, invite people in to take leadership. And now our leaders are actually at the point they've had a public meeting with the building inspector. They had a forum at the Mabel Tainter about this issue. They've done tons of one-to-one meetings. And they're now working with the housing committee in the city of Menominee to pass an ordinance that's going to restore rental inspections. And they did a bunch of research. They found that Eau Claire's done this, Racine's done this, Oshkosh. and they're working to find something that's going to work in Menominee. But this issue's been brought forward by our leaders and pushed by our leaders, and it looks like it's really close to happening.
We're talking to Bill Hogsath from Grow Grassroots Organizing Western Wisconsin, and that might be the most fascinating, impactful example of civic engagement that I've heard yet talked about on this program. Because we say affordable housing like it's some kind of a buzzword, and it is a very, very real problem. But yeah. So often, you know, you just hear, well, we just need to, you know, quote unquote, throw money at it, make rent more affordable, make it easier for landlords to bring in people with, you know, lower incomes. But none of that matters if these places are falling apart. And so as you're digging into the issue, you're finding out about the need for better inspections, which, by the way, a legislature filled with mostly Republicans who are landlords have so altered the landscape to be anti-renter, pro-landlord, that you go and look for these local solutions.
Yeah, I mean, the point you bring about the state legislature is really important, because the bill that got passed, Act 317, was the result of hundreds of thousands of dollars of lobbying done by the Wisconsin Realtors Association. And then the one in five of the legislators that voted for that bill were landlords themselves.
Amazing.
So it really matters who is in power. And that's kind of like why we organize the way we do. It's because when people are organized, regular people can be at the table. And right now it's our leaders who are working with the Housing Committee in Menominee who are helping to craft this ordinance.
Now, you're also working on the topic of healthcare, which gets a lot of attention right now, because that is the main reason that the federal government is shut down right now, is this ongoing fight to avoid a massive spike in health insurance premiums. But at a local level, again, is it as big an issue as national leaders are making it out to be? In other words, are they right to dig in their heels and say this healthcare affordability issue is important enough to force this fight, you know, in Congress right now?
Yeah, I mean, we definitely see that it is cutting at the local level. We are a very locally focused organization, but there are times like this where we cannot ignore what's happening at the federal level, because it is hitting so hard in the lives of our people. And our members decided to host a press action about 2 weeks ago on this very issue, calling on our member of Congress, Derek Van Orden, to break the political gridlock in Washington, D.C., because of how this is impacting our lives. Like Phil Vergis, one of our founding members, is a soybean farmer in Spring Valley, and he was doing the math while he was combining soybeans and realized he was going to lose losing $85 an acre this year. And then he's also realizing that he's going to lose the tax credits that are available to him through the ACA that makes his premiums affordable. And so he's doing the math about what this is all going to cost him. And he's realizing he's, you know, on the edge of financial, you know, precarity. So what's happening right now federally is really, really consequential for everybody in Western Wisconsin. Even if you don't use Medicaid or ACA, this is like has the potential to destabilize healthcare locally. I mean, I already saw like in Menominee, you can't childbirth services aren't available. So it's like the reduction of services, the reduction of staffing. People are going to have to go to ERs to get care. Those waits are going to increase. So this is really affecting everybody. And this it's all emanating from what that bill that was passed in July 4th, H.R. 1, mm-hmm. That was, I mean, it's not only cutting $1 trillion from Medicaid and terminating the tax credits, but it's also pushing a bunch of wealth upward. And giving handouts to billionaires. So it's like it's a massive redistribution of wealth. And it's really important that people know that.
Bill Hogsath is our guest from Grow Grassroots Organizing Western Wisconsin. You can learn more at gro-ww.org. And another one of the areas that you've mentioned is factory farming. And you had a win recently in where? Pierce County, town of Isabel. Local ordinance. Tell us more about that.
Yeah. So what's happening there is this was all instigated by a dairy CAFO that was wanting to expand in the town of Salem. It's called Ridge Breeze Dairy. And neighbors were really concerned. Neighbors who were already experiencing contaminated wells and unable to drink their own water coming out of their faucet, they wanted to do something about it. So the organizing that's happened then has been incredibly locally focused, because the state DNR regulates CAFOs only from a water quality perspective. And often these CAFOs just kind of get rubber stamped by the agency. So what we've decided, what we've seen that needs to happen is passing ordinances at the town board level. And we have an ordinance that's called an operations ordinance that says, if it doesn't ban CAFOs, but it says, if you want to operate a CAFO in our township, there's these set of conditions that you need to show that you can mitigate everything from biohazards to road damage to air quality, and all those factors. And it just says, if you're going to do that, you're going to need to show those plans. And you're also going to have some financial assurity to show that, like, if there's a spill, for example, that the liability can be handled by the operator of that farm. So we've been working township by township, and Maiden Rock Township was the first place where this was passed in Pierce County, now Isabel, and there's others that are working on it. So we expect many more to come.
And it happens in all sorts of areas. There's a great article in the Wisconsin Examiner about this fight and the work that you're doing, pointing out, for example, 5 years ago, leaders at a dairy falsely told Polk County supervisors they'd be committing a felony if they voted for a moratorium on factory farm expansions. That's not true. Yeah. But again, yeah, without groups like yours essentially acting as watchdogs, you know, the big lobbying groups will steamroll some of these small areas.
Yeah, and one thing I want to say about that, Pat, is that oftentimes in our organizing on this issue, we're painted as anti-farmer, and which is not the case. We have many farmers who are organizing with us, and often the opposition to these ordinances, like you said, are coming from these big lobbying groups, industry groups that are super well-funded, that have their own interests around profit at stake. And so they do things like, send a letter like that you mentioned in Polk County. And often at these public meetings in these little townships, they're really the only ones showing up in opposition.
Now, again, for folks that are listening elsewhere around the state, you can learn more by going to Grassroots Organizing Western Wisconsin. That's GRO-WW.org. But Bill, in conclusion, for people in other parts of the state that may not know if there's a group like yours where they are, what suggestions do you have or advice would you give them?
We do partner with other groups like ours that really that share the belief that organized people is the way that we can build power, and so some of those groups are active in other parts of the state. I'd say go talk to Citizen Action, go talk to Common Ground in Milwaukee, go talk to all the different affiliates of Wisdom, or if you're in Western Wisconsin, come talk to us, because at the end of the day, this is not about which party is in power. This is about whether regular people have a seat at the table. And the way that we do that is by getting organized and acting as a collective.
I'm really glad you mentioned that, because at no point, I mentioned Republicans in the legislature, but the issues themselves are designed to be nonpartisan. I think of all of those county boards that voted for resolutions over the past many years endorsing fair maps. That was not, you know, fair maps should not be a partisan thing. And right, likewise, all these issues should be, you know, what is the right policy? What is the right thing to do for your area? And Bill Hogseth does that as part of GROW in Western Wisconsin. Bill, we appreciate your time so very much. Thank you. Hope you have a great day.
Hey, thanks, Pat. Have a great day.
All right. Talk to you later. When we come back, we're going to be talking to Civic Media Sports Director Jimmy Cuska. It's been a very busy weekend here. It was a good weekend for the Packers, eventually, against Arizona. Some other teams, a little less so. But Jimmy will tell us all about that. And upcoming high school football playoffs start this week. We'll be back. You're up north.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
Lakeland Care is proud to be named one of the top workplaces in Wisconsin for 2025. But what really sets us apart is our commitment to providing personalized support for frail elders and adults with disabilities. Our care teams go above and beyond to help our members live their best lives with dignity and independence. Interested in becoming a member? Visit your local Aging and Disability Resource Center to see if you qualify. To learn more, visit www.lakelandcareinc.com. Lakeland Care. Together, we build better lives.
As the year winds down, it's time for a financial tune-up. Here are some steps to consider. If you're 73 or older, you'll need to take required minimum distributions from traditional retirement accounts to avoid a 25% penalty on any amount you should have withdrawn but didn't. And if you're still working, consider ramping up your pre-tax retirement contributions. Not only will this help your future self, but it might reduce your current tax bill. Now is a good time to review your investments. Did they perform as expected? Do they still match your goals? You may need to rebalance. One more thing, if you've had major life changes like marriage, divorce, or a new baby, review the beneficiary designations on all bank and brokerage accounts. These often override what's written in your will. Taking care of these and other financial tasks now can help you start the new year on solid ground.
This content was provided by Edward Jones for use by Clay Kanoki, your Wisconsin Rapids Edward Jones financial advisor at 715-421-0958.
When severe weather hits and the power goes out, do you have a plan? For reliable power and peace of mind, propane can do that. It only takes about 10 seconds for a propane-powered generator to restore power to your home. So no matter what Mother Nature has in store, you know you're prepared. Learn more at WIPGA.org. This message is sponsored by your local propane provider and the Wisconsin Propane Education and Research Council.
Hear that? That's the sound of your life. Perfectly imperfect. Beating in rhythm to the world you've created. But every time you drive after drinking, the music gets drowned out. Your life sounds pretty great. Don't let a buzz ruin it. Buzz driving is drunk driving. Don't drive buzzed. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Snakes, zombies, sharks, heights, speaking in public. The list of fears is endless. But while you're clutching your blanket in the dark, wondering if that sound in the hall was actually a footstep, the real danger is in your hand, when you're behind the wheel. And while you might think a great white shark is scary, what's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward, don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, and now for something local from WFHR and WIRI Studios.
Fire truck there. They had a lot of the fire clothing, the fire equipment. They showed the children. One of their big themes was not to be afraid if there is a fire. Again, we want to teach you and educate you on what you need to do to stay safe. So they had some great conversations. They handed out some fun prizes. And some of our older children at the elementary, they had the opportunity to practice putting out a fire on, I called it like a video game, on like a digital board. They could shoot like a laser at a digital fire and put out the fire and practice it that way. So pretty cool technology, yeah. I thought.
Yeah. My youngest, Izzy, just got married over last weekend, and her new husband is a firefighter. And talking to him a little bit about like them going to schools and these things, it's easily like one of their favorite things they get to do is doing this stuff. And certainly, you know, fire awareness, fire prevention, all that to be known. But also, again, one of these things that I appreciate about our school systems and everything, these kind of added things that kids get out of this. For every kid that enjoys this and think it's really cool and stuff, one out of five, one out of four, whatever it is, maybe they end up wanting to be a firefighter. Mm-hmm. Maybe they grow up and they want to do something like that. And we need more firefighters. We need more people in that industry. So it's a win-win kind of situation when it comes to not only getting the awareness out there and these kids being more up to date on it, but maybe even being firefighters one day. And with all of the safety issues we're talking about under any level, I think there's another lesson there that whether it's taught or it's just embodied, you just embrace it and stuff of the one of the things that can create fear in life is not knowing, is the unknown. and them understanding this stuff a little bit better, no matter what their age is, this takes away a little of the fear. I'm not saying they're not going to be afraid at all of any of this thing, these things we've talked about here, but the more they hear adults talking about it rationally, the more they hear adults talking about this stuff, the more human it gets, the more it just becomes, okay, this is something I have to worry about in life, no different than falling or something else and everything. It becomes, it's not as scary. And because to your point, I really appreciate you saying that. We're not trying to scare kids.
Right.
Just trying to keep them informed, trying to update them and stuff. It's a navigation that we're all trying to figure out while we're doing this. This is a brand new world. And so many things that we're doing here are very new and different. It's important for all of us as a community to work together on that and help, because it's, again, about the kids.
Absolutely. Educating them, teaching them a plan, talking about it in a calm, rational way, like you said, normalizing it. Again, hoping that it never happens, hoping that it's just educational information they can store in the back of their minds and never have to use it. But in case they do, we hope that those ideas and that plan comes into their mind and they're able to, use that information.
Appreciate the information, Jim. Thank you so much for that.
Sure.
April, I haven't put you on the spot yet. I mean, asked you questions. Thank you for being here, April. And real quick, before we kind of get into parent-teacher conferences or anything like that, could you tell us a little bit about what the Port Edwards Parent Organization is? What is PEPO?
Sure. What we do is it's a group of parents, a couple teachers, school personnel, Mr. Bina as well. We meet once a month to discuss activities with the school, fundraising opportunities, and how we can give back to the families that are supporting us and to give back to the kids, make them involved in the school. Like I said, we do a lot of fundraising, and part of that is besides involving the families so that when we put on events like Fall Fest tonight for the families, it's all free of charge for our community and our students.
You know, I was thinking about this a little bit this morning. Every once in a while, it pops in my head. I feel like it was yesterday. I took my youngest Izzy that I was just mentioning to kindergarten. And, you know, all the things you think about as a parent, all the things you prepare for. And then there's that walk, and the walk away from the classroom door. And I was lucky. Izzy, you know, she was doing okay. She was starting to meet people and talking and everything. I wasn't ready to go. I did not want to leave. And a lot of parents
can be a wreck. I've been there, done that.
She was fine. Yeah. I was a wreck. I did not want to leave.
Yeah.
And I think about that with, you know, organizations like this, with parent-teacher conferences and all of these things. Any opportunity for parents to be a little bit more involved or understand or learn a little bit more? Because guess what? Kids aren't the only ones that get afraid. Kids aren't the only ones that, you know, once they know something, it's a little less afraid. And I think that parents being able to be involved with their kids, with the school, is got to be a real gift to be able, not just to the community and to, of course, the teachers and the staff and everything, but for the parents.
Yeah. Absolutely. This is actually only my third year in this school district. We just moved in over here and joined right away. It was a way to meet other parents, start recognizing people at pickup, parent-teacher conference, get to know teachers. Now we see them out in public. They say hi. The kids engage. They're in summer sports together. It's just another way to bring all of the families together and kids of different ages that might not otherwise meet up in school to see each other at events and get to know who each other are.
You mentioned I
was just going to share, you mentioned about the importance of our families and getting them involved and engaged. I've always felt, James, that a really successful school, this is kind of a simplistic analogy, but it's like a strong three-legged stool. And if you don't have all three legs strong, the stool will not be successful. It's going to tip over. We have to do everything we can to have successful children. Our students have to be successful. We want our staff to feel empowered and confident and successful. And we have to have great relationships with our families. We want our families to be informed. We want them to feel involved. We want them to feel like they're a part of the school and have ownership. So family, staff, and students, if all three are feeling good and strong and we have our oars going the same direction, we'll have a strong school.
Speaking with Jim and April from the Port Edwards School District right now. And April, you mentioned an event coming up. Can we touch on that for a little bit?
Absolutely. Tonight we have our annual Fall Fest, which we hold for the students. And it is for our elementary students and their families. They are welcome to come in costume, have fun, treats provided. I believe tonight we have nachos. They can play different games, acknowledge each other's costumes, you know, get attention for that, go through our pumpkin patch, pick a pumpkin. We have enough for everybody. And just, again, it's another way for the families to engage with one another, but it's Going to be a lot of fun for the kiddos, too. Sounds like they're pretty excited for it.
Yeah, I mean, any opportunity to show off that costume. I mean, you have them right there. You got them right there. And it's so, like, with all the things that grow and change and adapt, and you were kind of touching on this a little bit earlier, Jim, even from when we were kids, but even going before that, Halloween is so very different than it used to be, but it's still here. It's still got its essence. It's still, you know, the pure, the parts of it that I think were always the best parts of Halloween are still there and still here. Mm-hmm. And kids getting to dress up and getting to show off that costume, got to have as many moments of like that as we can. That's a fun part of this, along with all the other great parts of it and everything. April, let's talk a little bit about the calendar.
You were listening to the Rapids Report, sponsored by Crockett Septic. To hear the full interview, visit WFHR.com, the Civic Media app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE, Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Amazon still tweaking a fix to an outage that knocked out popular apps and websites around the world today. BBC tech reporter Chris Vallance.
Is it maybe an update that didn't work out? You know, that sometimes happens with our own computers, doesn't it? We update them and things go wrong. Or is it something more sinister? We've no evidence at the moment that this was anything to do with a cyber attack.
Federal agency, they found what could have been a sniper stand near the Florida airport President Trump uses. CBS's Bradley Blackburn.
Sources tell CBS News it's located across the highway from the airport in trees more than 200 yards away. Whatever it is, officials think it's been there for months.
The winner of tonight's Mariners-Blue Jays game heads to the World Series against the Dodgers. Toronto manager John Schneider.
Whenever you can play for Game 7 to go to the World Series, it sounds kind of cool to say it, you know, but this is why we sacrifice everything.
Blue Jays beat Seattle 6-2 in Game 6 of the ALCS, forcing a Game 7. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah.